Hello, Hawk fans, and thanks for tuning in to the Kettle Club Podcast Network. My name is Joe Greenwich. I will be joined this week by a couple St. Joseph's student-athletes who had some pretty successful weeks last week. A little later on, we're going to talk to Nate Thomas from the SJU baseball team. The Hawks are 4-0 to start the season. They've got their home opener coming up this weekend. On Sunday, they played a pretty crazy doubleheader down at George Washington, a couple of come-from-behind wins in the ninth inning. So we'll talk to Nate about that. But first, we've got Zach Cole from men's lacrosse, the Hawks face-off specialist. Last week was named to the Towariton Award watch list. That's the award for the National Player of the Year. We'll talk to him about that. We'll also get his thoughts on the early season and how the Hawks are shaping up as they get into conference play. So, Zach Cole, thanks for joining us here on the Kettle Club Podcast Network.
Thank you for having me.
Zach, we'll just jump right into it. Obviously, this is one of the stranger years that anyone could possibly have imagined. You guys had a bit of an altered preseason, right?
Yes, we did. Kind of starting in the fall, we started off phased in groups with about 10 people in each group. Kind of worked into full progress, get to a full team practice, and then we kind of got shut down with about 3 weeks left in the semester. And then we came back, kind of more testing protocol. Everyone on the team got tested, I think about two times a week, and now we're here.
How strange is that? You're on a team with 50, 60 guys, and now you're training with just a handful of teammates. How, obviously it's different, but how did that impact the fall training? Obviously it's something that everyone has to do, but on a personal level, how did that impact your fall?
I mean, it's kind of difficult to kind of get into like a groove. Obviously there's a lot of different components of lacrosse. There's the clear, the ride, the face-off, offense, defense, transition. So when you're kind of working with 10 people groups, you can't really get a full kind of practice situation in different things. So that kind of had a little bit of an impact of when we came back, we kind of had to be more sharp on the mental end in the fall. So it was a lot more Zoom calls, kind of putting those things in the fall. So then when we came back in the spring, we can kind of try to get some live reps of those things, but more on the physical training end. I mean, we had a lot more time to focus on speed, agility, strength, because, I mean, smaller person groups can't really do much full field work. So there's a lot of stick work and things like that. So I think that kind of helped us kind of getting bigger, faster, and stronger for when spring came around, we'd be ready to go.
So spring comes around, you guys have a bit of a shorter window, maybe than normal, and then you jump into the games. Right now, you guys have won two in a row. You're rounding into form a little bit, right, as conference season starts. What do you think has been the biggest thing the last two games in moving a little closer towards what you guys want to be?
I think we're kind of just starting to figure out a little bit where everyone kind of fits in on our offense, our defense. We're starting to get some guys back that are healthy. Our stick work's starting to come along. We're stringing some passes together. I think the problem in our first three games, we kind of got off to a little bit of a slow start, and I think we're starting to figure that out a little bit. So hopefully we can keep that going. We have a really good opponent in Merrimack this upcoming week, so going to get back to practice this week. Look forward to that.
You're going to be playing your first home game in over a year on Saturday. What's that going to be like to get back out on Sweeney Field? Obviously, you know, so many teams have been playing without fans. The Hawks have had some fans at some games here in March, but you're still not going to have quite the same crowd and environment that you've had in the past. But having said that, how's it going to feel to get back out on your home turf and, you know, with Hagen Arena out there in the background and surrounded by the buildings right in the center of St. Joseph's campus?
It always feels good to have a home game at Sweeney Field, but I think this year it's going to be a little better. I mean, I missed our last home game last year against Penn, so I haven't played at Sweeney a little bit longer than everyone else, but I mean, I'm just excited to get out there. Hopefully, I know my friends and family are going to come, so I hopefully it'll be a good environment. I think it's going to be nice to just have a home game, no travel, kind of just walk out, drive to campus, get ready to play, and I think it's going to be awesome.
Well, you mentioned the travel. Has that been different this year so far during your season because of the COVID protocols?
Yeah, so usually we would stay over at somewhere like Sacred Heart, but this year you're getting up earlier for the COVID tests. I think we came in at 7 o'clock for a Sacred Heart game to get COVID tested, and then we headed over to Sacred Heart, 3-hour drive. You play the game, you get right back on the bus. Some places you're not even allowed to shower. The locker rooms look different. Some people have outdoor locker rooms. You get back on the bus, you drive home, and then your day is over. So I think overall the days are just a little bit longer. You're getting off the bus. Sometimes your legs feel a little stiff from being on the bus for a while. But besides that, everyone's dealing with it, so just kind of got to adapt.
When you talk about adapting, everyone calls everything the new normal.
Yeah.
There's really nothing normal about it, but have you been able to get used to that sort of routine? Obviously, it plays a role in what you said about being at home being maybe more of an advantage this year, even without a ton of fans in the stands, simply because you don't have to go through all of that. You go, you get your test, and you go play your game. So is it something that you're able to get used to, or is it just something that, like, you're going to have to deal with and hopefully get past this spring and not have to deal with it anymore?
I mean, I think we're kind of getting used to it now. It's kind of the waking up on a game day and you don't know if you're 100% going to play that day because everyone has to test negative. So it's kind of just being able to adapt and really can't really take anything for granted. You just have to be happy that we're able to have some type of a season. But, I mean, everyone's starting to deal with it. I mean, after three games, we're kind of starting to get into the groove and it almost does feel normal, which is a little bit sad. But hopefully after this year, everything will be figured out and we'll never have to deal with this again.
And you talked about the different components of training. You are one of the premier face-off guys in the country. How does a face-off guy skill train in a way that's different than maybe, you know, an attacker who can always fire a ball off a wall? Can you do a face-off against a wall?
I mean, a lot of face-offs really comes down to technique and really perfecting every little thing. One different movement can really affect like your weight distribution or your speed, anything like that. So I think a lot of it comes starting there, just trying to perfect your technique. And then once you get that down, you kind of have to try to get as many reps as possible. So in the summer, I mean, it's just driving up and down the tri-state area, trying to find different guys to face off with, because everyone faces off differently. And with the whole new rule change to the face-off, it was kind of a bit of struggle this summer trying to find people that were working as hard as trying to figure the things out. But
tell us about the rule change. What is different this year than in the past?
So last year and for how many ever years before, you were allowed to have your right knee on the ground and you were allowed to have a motorcycle grip. So both your hands were over top of the stick, kind of like as if you were riding a motorcycle. And this past year, the NCAA changed the rule that you have to be standing up and your front right hand has to be underhand, so kind of like a curl grip. So, I mean, it just changes a lot of different things. The stance, obviously, one, you're standing up instead of on a knee. So it's kind of like a balance perspective. And the grip is just a whole different way of trying to cover the ball with your stick. So a lot of hard work went into the summer for that, but I think a lot of people are adapting to it well and kind of like it.
Have you seen to this point that the guys who were good at face-offs last year are still pretty good at face-offs this year, yourself included, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, and also the kind of guys that are in the mid-range who are a little bit more athletic, I think are also doing a really good job kind of throwing some different counters at guys and just being able to pick up the ball off the ground, which I think that's another aspect of the rule change. There's a lot more ground balls. So the more athletic the guy is, I think the more advantage he has.
Well, your prowess on the face-off has put you on the watch list for the Towariton Award, the National Player of the Year honor. How did it feel when you first heard about that?
It's really exciting. I mean, it's a great honor. It's a list with a bunch of guys that are really, really good. So, I mean, it's always good to get recognition in that aspect, but always want to have our eyes on winning the first NEC championship in school history.
When you see your name on the list, like you said, with guys all across the country, what do you think that means for your program? You know, you want to win the title, obviously, but, you know, getting the recognition for the whole group because of your success, you know, what does that do for the team's morale? Like, were the guys excited when they heard about it?
Yeah, I think everyone's excited. I mean, whenever a teammate or someone you're really close to gets an award, you always want to be happy for them. But I think for the program, it also does something. It shows that you don't need to go to a big school to kind of be able to receive a national honor. I think that's what kids in high school kind of see a lot. They want to go to a Big Ten, an ACC school, but you don't really need to go there to receive an honor of that caliber.
All right, Zach, I won't ask which you would rather have, an NEC title or the Twardson Award, because you already answered that question.
Yeah.
And answered that question correctly, I'll add.
Yeah.
So as you guys move into the heart of your season, it seems like you just started, but it also seems like the NEC tournament is right around the corner. What do you think is going to be the biggest difference for your team to go and achieve that goal this year?
I think we're really going to transition this year. We have all the pieces. I think this is one of the most complete teams we've ever had. We're still trying to figure things out all over the field, but I just feel like once we get into our role and there's like certain bright spots in every game that we have where we look out on the field, we're like, wow, we look really, really good right now. I think with the more we play together, the more games we get in, we start to piece things together. I think those runs are going to turn into full games, and I think we're going to look really good.
All right, well, Zach, good luck. Zach and the men's lacrosse team will play their first home game in over a year this Saturday at Sweeney Field when they host Merrimack. Thanks for joining us, and good luck the rest of the year.
Thank you for having me.
That was Zach Cole from men's lacrosse. After the break, we'll be right back with Nate Thomas from St. Joseph's Baseball. The Kettle Club Podcast Network is brought to you by Rothman Orthopedics. Rothman Orthopedics, the official team physicians of your St. Joseph's Hawks, provides the region with unmatched orthopedic care. For more information or to schedule an appointment, visit www.rothmanortho.com. For orthopedic excellence, think Rothman first. And also by Univest. Handle all your banking remotely with the Univest mobile platform. Easy, convenient, and secure, because life needs a little more wow. Live life, stay connected with Univest. Univest Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC. We're back here on the Kettle Club Podcast Network. Our second guest today, Nate Thomas from SJU Baseball. The Hawks off to a 4-0 start. Nate hitting over 400 early in the season. A couple of crazy games yesterday at George Washington. We'll talk to him about all that. Nate, thanks for joining us.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Let's go back a little bit to the fall. Normally you guys will play games against other schools and you'll have your period of workouts. Instead, this year it was small groups, no games, as everybody tried to combat the spread of COVID-19. How strange was that to have such a different fall preparation season?
Yeah, this fall was entirely different from any other. We really couldn't even have a team practice for majority of the fall. So, I mean, we were just getting kind of in individual groups. I mean, to be honest, like we couldn't even really get to know our freshmen because they were trying to split up off-campus guys and on-campus guys. So the preparation for the season, especially not just from a baseball standpoint, but from like a team camaraderie standpoint, it was definitely really difficult.
Now, baseball, a little bit more than other sports, relies on individual actions that come together to make a team. So theoretically, you guys were still able to do some of your normal hitting and throwing, just you could only do it with the same guys over and over again, right?
Yeah. We would do small groups, get together and do what we could for, because we could only be out there for like, I think like an hour tops too. So you really just had to kind of get in, get out, and yeah, like we weren't really allowed to use our locker room. So it was really just like guys coming, then guys leaving, you know, you could say hi, bye, and then that's about it. But from a baseball standpoint, you were able to get your work done that you needed to from an individual standpoint. You just couldn't really be with the team or be with different guys.
Now, if ever there was a spring where you could use nice weather to let you get outside as soon as you were able to, it would have been this year. So, of course, we had a foot of snow on the ground, freezing temperatures, and you guys really didn't get outside until almost right before you started playing, something you're kind of accustomed to playing in the Northeast. But once you were able to get outside, you know, how did it feel to be out there with the team, you know, in a large group preparing for games?
Once we got outside, it was really amazing. I mean, and Skip had to remind us a couple times, at least every practice, to just sort of like, don't push yourself too far. Like, he knows we want to be out here. We want to, you know, take a million and one reps. We want to do all this. But he's like, look, like, you got to relax so that we don't get injured, that we don't push ourselves too far to a point where it's going to hurt us. But once we were able to get out, it really was, I mean, the energy was super high. Everyone was so, I think, more just like excited to be around each other and be on the actual baseball field. than like even a point from like, oh yeah, we get to be out there getting better. It's just like everyone being able to come together and be around each other on a baseball field in the baseball environment. That was really exciting for everyone.
You guys did get a really late start to your games on your schedule. And you know, Coach Hamburg talked in his season preview about the reasoning behind that being exactly what you said about avoiding injury. What did that do for you guys, knowing that, you know, you had a little more time to kind of ease your way into things when other teams were kind of just picking up the ball, picking up the bat, you know, let's go. Were you guys on board? Were you focused on that goal of the first game?
I think we're definitely, there's two sides to it kind of. I think we're definitely anxious because you're seeing a lot of these other teams, especially down south, who we usually always play to start the year. You're seeing all them play, and a lot of these guys on the team have friends on other teams that are playing. So that makes us a little bit anxious. You know, we want to be playing. But at the same time, I think it was somewhat beneficial for us considering that we did get to start so late that it was pushed back a little bit. So like you said, injury wise, we were okay. And we felt more not just thrown into a fire, but we were more prepared. We were able to prepare a little bit more.
Well, it certainly seems to have been beneficial. You're off to a 4-0 start. In four games, you guys have hit 11 home runs. Now, Smithson Field maybe plays a little bigger than some of the other fields you guys have played at. What's been the key component behind the offensive explosion earlier in the year?
I think everyone is kind of just doing their own job, doing their own thing. You know, I think from at least a baseball standpoint, everyone's different. You have so many different sizes, weights, and from an actual baseball, you got different stances. You know, so I think everyone is so different, but we're maximizing our differences for the best, for the better. You know, not everyone has the same swing and stuff like that. So I think everyone's kind of just doing their own part and kind of doing what's right for them, and then that's helping us all in the end.
So the team off to its best start since 1999, 4-0. You got a blowout win at Towson and then a three-game series at George Washington. GW normally a conference opponent. This year, things a little different in Atlantic 10 play. You're only playing a certain segment of the league, and you're playing four-game series with those doubleheaders on Saturday. How is that going to change your approach as a player, if at all, really, because you've played doubleheaders when you have a rain out or a schedule change, but how does it change your approach as a player going into a weekend when you know, all right, we've got four games, we've got, you know, more innings than we're used to, and we kind of have to pace ourselves, but also, you know, we only play a certain number of conference games. So what's the mindset when you go into a weekend like that as opposed to your normal three-game weekend?
Well, obviously every conference weekend, that's super important. Every game series, but those are the ones you really got to focus on. And from a preparation standpoint, I really don't think much changes because, you know, like I said, they're so important that I don't think a lot's going to change with how we go about it. I would just say more so like your legs, your body, you need to be more prepared for that because it's going to be a long couple of days. But what is beneficial though, or somewhat, is that, you know, we're playing the teams that are somewhat more local. So we're not like, even though we're playing more games, it's not as far of a bus ride back. So we're not dealing with 8-hour bus rides or flights and stuff like that, which could definitely help. But yeah, I would just say that during the week, it's going to be really important to take care of our bodies, and we'll have to manage that a little bit differently.
We talk about conference season. That's still a couple weeks away. This weekend, UConn comes to Hawk Hill, home opener on Friday afternoon. UConn, pretty big name program on the baseball scene, and you start your home season, it'll be your first home games in 22 months. It's almost unfathomable to think that you guys haven't played a home game since 2019. What's it going to be like when that first pitch comes in and the umpire signals ball one, strike one, and it's like, wow, we're playing at home again? How's that going to feel?
I'm super excited. This is now going to be my third season, and I've probably only played about 15 games or so at home my freshman year because we didn't get to play any last year. So to be able to be on our own field, we're practicing every day. Where we got since they're allowing fans, which is really great. To be able to see some parents and some of our close fans and relatives that'll come to the games. That's going to be really exciting. It's going to be an exciting atmosphere to be at Smithson.
Now, this past Sunday, you guys played a doubleheader at George Washington, and You were trailing 12-10 after 8 innings in the opener. Brandon Drapeau hits a 3-run home run. You guys hang on to win. What kind of a boost was that, especially knowing you have 9 more innings ahead of you, to get a come-from-behind win? You'd had a lead, you lost the lead, you got back close again, they expanded their lead, and in the end, the Hawks came out on top. How does that lift the team going into game 2 of a long day?
That first game was a complete roller coaster of emotions. I mean, starting, we had a big lead, and then we lost that lead. They took the lead. We kind of came back a little bit, and then they, like you just said, they added on to their lead. And then last inning, Brandon hits that homer, and we take the lead and we get the win. And that was that. I mean, in a game like that, it almost seems like you were so drained because of the emotions and the intensity of the game, more so than the actual physical component of it. But to be able to get that win and get the series win in the first game, then that was outstanding, because we were able to just kind of go into game 3 confident, knowing we already won the series, and knowing that their team over there was kind of deflated when we were just kind of, you know, on the up. We still had some energy in us, even though we definitely were a little tired, but but we had a little bit of energy knowing that we were able to win a series and have 2 wins. So that first game, being able to win that was an outstanding, and really, like, just really helped a lot going into the third game.
What do you guys do in that, you know, 20, 25, 30 minutes between games to catch your breath and prepare for game 2?
Yeah, well, so the guys that played, they're kind of just like, cause we haven't really eaten, and I can't remember. I mean, I was, for example, yesterday I was at the field from 10 to about 8 at night. So the guys that played in the first game, you're pretty much just trying to, like, sit down, take a load off for about 10 minutes. We get sandwiches in between the games, so try and eat a sandwich, maybe half of it, because you don't want to be too full because the game starts in about 20 minutes. So you spend about 10 minutes doing that, and then you kind of got to go maybe get a little stretch, jog, and then it's like right back at it. So it's a quick turnaround, but it's something you kind of just got to embrace, you know, that you get to go out there and have some more fun and do it all over again.
It's kind of part of the baseball culture. You know, you come up playing doubleheaders, and it's just something that comes with the territory.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's definitely. I mean, you don't really have any other sports that play doubleheaders. So even though it's a long day, it's something to embrace.
So then game 2, obviously George Washington not happy with how game 1 went. Come out to an early 7-0 lead. But as was the theme of the day for the Hawks, with you guys, with the softball team, with the field hockey team, a comeback was in order. You get 1 run. And then you have a 6-run inning to tie the game. GW takes the lead again. You get to the 9th inning. It's 12-10 again. Did anybody notice that? What was the feeling in the dugout when you see the score going to the 9th inning? Like, this looks a little familiar.
I think everyone kind of just at that point, they knew that we could win this. I mean, especially from what happened in the first game and then going down so early in the second one, everyone was kind of like, okay, we just got punched. Now we got to get back up. We got to fight. We know we can fight from last game. We just proved to ourselves that we could do that. I think it was just, look, we need to do it again. So I think once we kind of brought it back in striking distance and we were down 1 or 2 runs, then that's when we know we're like, okay, we're going to win this. And right, we got into their bullpen because we knew they were short on arms. So we knew that once we could get by like 1 or 2 of them, that we were going to be in the clear. And that we were going to be able to win the game when it came down to the later innings.
So in game 1, a 2-out home run nudges you ahead. Game 2, forget all that, a 6-run 9th inning to take the lead. GW gets 2 back. But in the end, the Hawks, trailing after 8 innings in both games, come away with 2 wins. Have you been a part of something like that in your career? When's the last time you had such a dramatic, like you said, a roller coaster of emotion throughout such a day?
Yeah, I mean, going back to some emotional games when maybe my freshman year, we had some emotional conference games. I think actually against GW, like we talked about earlier, when the final score was about like 24-20, you thought it was a football game, mm-hmm. even though we don't have football. But yeah, I think maybe going back to my freshman year, maybe that game against GW, or if not that, then I'd say probably the summer of my senior year playing American Legion, where we were down about 7 in the fifth inning. You only played 7 innings. And we were in the regionals. You know, we win that tournament. We get to go play on ESPN, so stakes are really high. And then, yeah, we eventually came back. We were able to win that game. And it just it's kind of the same feeling, because after the game, you just sit down, you take a deep breath, and you honestly think to yourself, like, whoa, what just kind of happened? Because it's like you look up, it's 3 hours, 4 hours later, and you totally forget when you even woke up this morning that, you know, you'd be out here this long, that you'd go through this. Like I said, I think I was more emotionally drained than I was physically.
Now, normally after such a big day, you know, it'd be pretty jovial bus ride home. I imagine everyone was pretty exhausted after all that, like you said, both physically and mentally.
Yeah, everyone was definitely physically exhausted, but like you said, they're usually an A-10 opponent, conference series opponent. So, and no matter if it's a conference or not, really, it's just series wins in baseball are so important and so valued that, you know, you need to celebrate the victories and celebrate those little tiny wins every weekend. So the bus ride, to at least for the start of it, it was definitely pretty hype, pretty exciting. And then eventually it died down a little bit and a lot of people dozed off as expected.
How much of a lift does this give you guys going into the rest of your season? You know, everyone talks about the game not being over till it's over. You know, we can do it. We can do it. Well, now you've done it. You've done it twice, and you did it against a team that is a bit of a rival from league play. So how much of a lift does that give you throughout the rest of the season if you ever find yourself in that spot knowing, guys, we've done this before. Let's go do it again.
I think that's an outstanding lift. Being able to do what we did so early in the season too, I think it's so important, because now come later in the season, we're in another situation, maybe in the A-10 tournament, if we hopefully get there. You never know when you're going to need it, but you go, hey, just remember GW, remember being down 7 in the second inning. Remember, you know, coming back, remember him hitting this home run, remember that. And you could just go back to that and think, wow, like, we did it. Okay. So we can do it now. And I think from a team standpoint, it's just being able to do that so early when we haven't really been able to do too many team stuff. That really showed a lot about the type of guys that we have on our team, shows how close we are, shows how we all are here for each other. And at the end of the day, we want to win, no matter if we're on the field, in the bench, or wherever we are, we want to win.
Well, Nate, you guys will start your home season on Friday. Thanks for joining us. Congratulations on the start and good luck on keeping it going.
Thanks.
That was Nate Thomas from SJU Baseball. Our thanks as well to Zach Cole from the men's lacrosse team. And thank you for listening here on the Kettle Club Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe to the Kettle Club Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or the TuneIn app. You can also find us at sjuhawks.com/podcasts.